is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, The Prodigal Son. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Johnny Ray Watson with His Eye is on the Sparrow, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I feel discouraged. Why should the shadows fall? And why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on that little sparrow, and I know that He's watching me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He's watching me. So I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on that little sparrow, and I know He's watching me. Oh, let not your hearts be troubled. His tender that I hear. I don't know about you, but I'm resting upon His goodness. And in those moments, I lose my doubt and fear. And by His grace, the Lord led me. And it's one thing His eyes on that little sparrow, and I know that He's watching me. Oh, His eye is on that little sparrow, and I know He's watching me. So I sing because I'm really happy tonight. I sing because the Lord has made me free. His eye is on that little sparrow, and I know that He's watching me. Oh, His eye is on that little sparrow, and I know He's watching. He's watching me.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Bible Home Church. You know, it's just great to be with you every week and to look at God's Word. And I'll tell you, I was driving to the studio, and, you know, I was reading the Bible and started, you know, brushing up on what I was going to talk about today. And you know, I couldn't help but cry. I cry a lot, you know, and I'm a big guy, and, you know, I used to box in the Golden Gloves and played a little football. Never was good at football. I was okay in the Golden Gloves. That's boxing, if you don't know what Golden Gloves is. But I'm a pretty tough guy. You know, hadn't been picked on very much in life, I suppose. But, you know, the things in the Bible just touch your heart. They really do. The things that Jesus said and did. And I think it's amazing. I don't know how anyone can read the Bible on their own. Just start reading it. And people say to me, where should I read in the Bible? I've never read the Bible. Well, I always tell them to go to the New Testament and start with the book of Matthew and go from there. Now, there's other... I'm sure that you have a special passage, but that's what I think. That's what I do. And so I guess I've read Matthew more than any other, just keep reading it over and over. when you start fresh, you know, you go back to, but it's wonderful. The whole thing is just fantastic. And you sit down and you scratch your head, I guess, and you say, how is it possible that anyone could be this kind, this generous, this merciful, this brilliant, brilliant. Boy, no one is this brilliant. No one is this has as much compassion as Jesus had. And I really think if that's the way to, if you're interested in a person becoming a Christian and knowing Jesus Christ, just tell him to read what Jesus said. And I believe that most people will be convinced. They'll understand why you and I feel the way we do. Now, today, I'm going to start a new series. And I was laying in bed thinking, let's see now, what could a, you know, what is the topic for, you know, next time? I do that sometime and think of the topic. Sometimes it just pops into my head. I think God puts it in there, of course. But I was laying in bed. It was about 5 o'clock. I couldn't sleep. And suddenly I began to think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son. Now, some people call it the lost son. But others call it the prodigal son. You can read about it in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Now, my first thought was, no, I can't preach on that. So many people know of that story, and, you know, they're tired of that story, the same old story about the prodigal son returning home to the father, and, you know, it's just old. And the thought next hit me, and it said, wait just a minute. Nothing in my book is old. I make all things new all the time. And so I realized, well, Tex, that's not true. There must be something wonderful in there.
And I began to think about, I didn't have my Bible with me. I was just laying in bed, but I began to think about it. And I began to think of new facets and new things. That chapter in Luke made me remember this chapter, in Matthew, and this chapter in, another a book of the Bible. And pretty soon I was just dancing back and forth in my brain and my mind. In fact, I was so excited I wanted to get up and write the sermon right then. Write notes. I usually don't write a whole sermon. I just write some notes and I go from there. And God, he gives me what to say. And I hope I don't go too far afield, You'll have to forgive me if I do. But I began to dance around in my mind. Oh, that's wonderful. I never thought of that. This is something new. So I want to, I hope I can relate that to you, my friends. I hope you'll get something new out of it. I read the Bible all the time, and I'm reading something that I've read many times before, and something I'll suddenly see a verse say, ooh, I never saw that in there before. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Oh, this relates to this or that. Have you ever done that, friends? And no one can learn all the Bible. You say, well, it's only so many pages, it's so many books. But every time you read it, you get something new out of it, don't you? You can't get a PhD. I don't know about these people that I ask a pastor, well, what's your doctorate in, or what did you study in college? Well, I'll go a degree in Bible. Well, I know you study the Bible, but how did you get a degree? Sort of means you're fulfilled. Well, none of them are fulfilled. I mean, I promise you that. And I suspect once we go into heaven, we're going to learn a lot more about the Bible. And you'll never, I say, you'll never get full up. You'll always be learning. But let's go to this book, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Let's learn about this prodigal son, and I'll try to point out, and I hope you'll bear with me, but I do believe I'm going to touch on a few things that are new. They're new to me. I had not thought of them before. And most of all, I want you to understand something. I learned a lot about, the son that we could say was the forgotten son, the second son. The one that stayed home and worked and was faithful to his father and I want to focus in on him quite a bit, because you may be like him. He's like the world. He meets the world standard. Now everybody would say, well, that's pretty high, isn't it? Oh no, it's not. Not according to God. God has his standard, and then there's what the world believes is true. And this son, the second son, had the world standard. And it's wrong. It is. It's really wrong. But it's what most people think, most people would do. We're going to look at that. And we're going to see the father. What kind of father is this? I mean, he has a riotous, profligate, just a bum son, doesn't he? The first son. You just want to kick the guy out of the house and go out then. Get out. Don't come back. But he didn't. He handled it very generously, didn't he? But it must have broken his heart when his son left home, took the money with him, the crud. See, I just told you the world standard, didn't I? The crud, I said, C-R-U-D. We'll see if that's what the father thought. But I look at it from, first of all, how the second son looked at it, and then the father, and then the first son. How did he look at things? There's three here to discover, three different attitudes to discover. And each, I think, is reflected on earth today. Now, let's see what attitude you would have. I know what attitude I once had, and I think that is pretty much in accordance with the world standard. Wasn't bad. I wasn't a bad person. And I ask a lot of people, are you a Christian? Well, I'm a good person. And they are. They're good. They don't they haven't killed anybody. They may have lied a few times and may have, I don't know, maybe even cheated sometimes, or, you know, we all do, don't we? Well, we do when we're not with God in our lives. And we think we're okay. You know, they ask a question, a survey recently, and ask people, do you believe in hell and do you believe in heaven? And it's interesting because a huge number believe in heaven. I think it was like 70% believe in heaven, but only about 9% of the people believed in hell. Well, the Bible talks about heaven and hell, but they seem to, they don't want to think about hell. And it seems like most people think they're good and they're going to go to heaven. But Jesus says, very few there are that find the way. He knows, doesn't he? He doesn't look at the world from heaven and say, oh yes, I'm going to take all of you in. Wow. Well, let's read this and see what we can find here. Verse 11 says, and he said, that's Jesus now, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now, here's the son. And the younger said to the father, hey, I want my inheritance now. Now, I understand the father was evidently planning on giving each of them an inheritance. But the first one, the younger, was very impetuous. And he saw that the world was a lot of fun. He'd get out and drink and make merry and, boy, and just have a riotous life. You know, it's like going down to the beach and seeing all the pretty girls or the pretty boys or handsome boys. I don't mean pretty boys. But you know, that's what you want. Let's get out a keg of beer. Let's drink it. Let's have a ball. Let's have fun. That's what most people think, don't they? And this one said, give me what I'm supposed to get later. Give it to me right now. Now, the father, now we're going to look at the perspective of the father. The father could have said, I'm not giving you. You're going to have to work. You know, I believe in work. And I worked and get where I'm at. And so you're going to have to work and get what, you know, get your part of the money. I mean, look at the second son, the older one. He's staying with me and he's being faithful. Why can't you stay here and be faithful? Shame on you. Well, it doesn't say he said that. If the young son wanted to be, to live a sinful, filthy, dirty life, well, he's going to let him. He divided unto them his living. Plenty to live on. Think about it. Now, if you're the father and you have these two sons and you're going to give this one son, the younger one, his inheritance, and you know he's going to go out and blow it. You know that. Now, if this father's a good father, he's going to have his heart broken. He's going to be so concerned. For one thing, it's not safe out there. I mean, there's robbers, there's people that'll cheat you, and scam artists, and others, and they're going to take your money. You say, well, I'm smart. Well, this guy's, he's a young boy. I doubt if he was very smart. Now, think about that. Maybe you had a young daughter, and you want her to go to college. No, I want to go out and I want to party. I want to have fun. I don't want to study. And I'd studied enough in high school, and I breaks your heart. You have a son, you want him to maybe start a career field, and you try to tell him all these career fields that are good for you and everything. He says, I want to be a beach bum. I don't think I want to do anything. Give me my money right now. Now, most parents wouldn't give them the money. They say, I'm not giving you any money. I'm going to give you just enough. Just sort of keep you on the leash, you know. Well, this father, he gave them both. He gave at least this son his living, it says. His living. Enough to live on. Well, it continues in verse 13. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Yeah, he did it. The father knew he did it, but he let him do it. He let him make those terrible mistakes. Now, think if that father was God. And you're going to go off and you're going to live in sin. You're going to have sex with boys. You're going to do terrible things. You're going to drink, get drunk, take drugs, whatever. Don't think God doesn't know what you're going to do. He knows. It breaks his heart, but he says, okay, if that's what you want. And this young son did. He went off into another country even. He's going to have adventures. I want to see the world. I want to do all these things. I want to leave home. And he wasted his substance, what he had, with riotous living. What money didn't last long, did it? Verse 14 continues, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Oh. After he had spent everything, there was a famine in that land. And he began to not have enough food, maybe not enough clothing, maybe didn't have a place to live. He'd spent all of everything he had. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Well, I'll make friends with this guy or woman. They'll help me out. And he, that is the new friend, sent him into the fields to feed swine. Oh, you want a job? Well, the only job I got for you, there's a famine, you know. Things are pretty bad right now. I'm going to give you this job just feeding my hogs. Well, that's okay. I'll take any job. I can still have sin in my life. I can still party. I can still drink. I can do whatever I want. That's a pretty poor job, isn't it, though? Pretty poor job. You know, I was recently reading about pigs, about hogs, that they're pretty smart. I read this story, and the scientists studied pigs. They said the pig is smarter than the cat. Now, you cat lovers out there, I've got a cat here, too, in the ministry. And I love this cat. I really do. I've got two dogs and a cat. And this sort of offends me. Why? No pig is as smart as my cat. How about you? Maybe you've got a cat and you're saying, wait just a minute, Tex. I know my cat's smarter. Well, that's not so. The scientists say the pig is smarter than the cat. Boy, that's an insult, isn't it? But that's what science says. And science is never wrong, is it? Oh, I have to laugh when I say that. They're usually wrong, but anyway, I think they're probably right in this. Probably the cat is not as smart as the pig. But there's one thing about a pig. He loves to stay in filth. You pull him out of the pig pen, and there's all that where they've been wallowing and all that mud and everything. He can't wait to get back in. He loves to wallow in it, get as dirty and filthy as can be. That's his nature. Now, you take a sheep, and I understand that sheep are very clean. That's why that's why you can see their white, you know, a fur on their body. They're very clean. And they say that if you take a sheep up to a pig pen, they'll do anything to avoid that mud. They don't want to be in that mud. They'll stay away from it. That just shows God gives every living thing a certain nature.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.